the Outer Skin. So now, so with a name like the Outer Skin, does that imply that, you know, beneath our outer skin we have, you know, an interior private life that we only reveal to a few people?
Maybe. It wasn't quite clear where the name the Outer Skin came from.
I think
it might be that the Outer Skin refers to the clothes you wear. It wasn't real clear.
What exactly was the Outer Skin? What was the exact nature of the establishment?
So it was a fairly large store selling the both sex stuff and some non-sexual paraphernalia. So, for example, they had the vibrators, videos, sex books,
candles, wind chimes, gift items. It's a real mix.
The exotic dancewear, wigs, lingerie.
Bad lingerie. Really, really, well, not all of it.
Does this seem to be an emerging marketing category? Pornography and new agey trinkets?
Well, I wouldn't say it's not new agey trinkets.
There were some.
Yeah, the way
But it wasn't the main thrust.
But yeah, to answer your question seriously, yes, that Good Vibrations, for example, and Blowfish sell Kama Sutra products, which are sensual oils and real close to aromatherapy products. Yes, people like that sort of thing to set a certain mood.
And there is a crossover because one of my favorite stores, which is Journeys of Life, sells the Kama Sutra line also.
Journeys of Life?
Uh-huh. It's in Shadyside.
It's a new age.
Do they also have pornography?
No. Okay. Not anything that would be considered porn. Sex manuals, yes, but...
I'm actually kind of upset right now.
So the way I describe the Outer Skin is that it's what Fredericks of Hollywood would be if Fredericks sold the porn and sex paraphernalia.
Yeah.
So as much of a lifestyle store, then, as anything else.
Yeah. The reasonably fair to describe it that way.
This is just terrible. I mean, I'm actually feeling a little bit shocked right now because, you know, in my mind, so pornography has had a long and very interesting history, and the science of pornography, the science of getting people aroused,
talking about Martin Rehm here are we?
No. I'm not. But the science of bringing a man or a woman to orgasm has been studied for a long time, and there's lots of well-known techniques for doing this. I'm a little upset that all of this kind of pseudo-scientific spiritual stuff is diluting. I mean, mixing like pornography with this kind of like, you know, new agey aromatherapy incense kind of spiritual crap is actually very, very upsetting to me. It's going to give pornography a bad name, I think.
Hey, I like all that spiritual aromatherapy crap.
Well, it could really be a marketing issue, right? I mean, the kinds of people that go into those stores are the kinds of people that buy that sort of stuff. In the same way that music clubs will try to sell you South Park t-shirts based on the type of music you buy from them.
I mean, in Japan, it's pornography. Instead of pornography, it's adult.
It's just adult. So, but can you buy sex toys in Japan? Can you buy, a dildo?
Yeah, of course.
Or
there's many kinds of toys. It's adult toy, not sex toy.
So, but this is, you're just talking about the name of it, not you're not referring to the kind of product you could get.
Kind of product name?
That is, can you get the same things in Japan that you can in our country?
What do you mean that?
Well, there's a wide variety of products you can get. For example, here at the Outer Skin, is the selection more limited?
I have never seen the Outer Skin.
Okay. Well, let's just
have any of us really?
Yeah. Yes, actually, yes.
Okay.
I still have to harp on this point just a little bit longer. I mean, you know, my intramuscular electrical stimulating dildo has a very specific, you know, biological action, and you lubricate it, you put it up your butt, you turn on the signal generator, and it works according to principles established since, you know, the time of Newton and Coulomb, right? Well established electrical principles. But, you know, I mean I'm not going to go there and buy they probably sell magnets there, right? And, like, you know, those inserts you put in, like, reflexology pressure point things.
Crystal deodorant?
Certainly, they sold massage implements. Mm. That was in a cabinet next to the gay pride stuff.
That's something else to mention, though. They have a really wide selection of gay pride stuff. And if that's something you're looking for, it's a good place to find it.
And leather pride stuff, I noted.
Yes.
But can we get back to the dissatisfaction you've been expressing, DJ Corey? Are you calling for, are you issuing a manifesto for the addition of rigor and maybe a scientific approach to sort of pornographic device engineering? Is that what's going on here?
And are we going to get a peer-reviewed journal of pornography out of this?
You know, you I think you put it better than I ever could. I think it's high time indeed that you know, scientists like myself put I've been in grad school for a decade now, and I have extremely rigorous mode of thinking, and I'm a very logical, very intelligent person, and people like me need to apply our skills to what is probably the most important human endeavor of all, which is the transference of pleasure.
Well, on the other hand, different people buy things for different reasons. So there's probably a market out there for just about anything.
But can I make an analogy to makeup, for example? Different brands of makeup project different images. And, for example, Clinique makeup goes for a very sort of sterile, clean, clinical, white lab coat image. You could easily imagine taking pornography and pornographic accessories out of dingy rooms filled with massage oil and into a room with shiny steel operating tables, Jacob's ladders, oscilloscopes, you know, the whole deal.
It's interesting you say dingy, because that is one thing I could say about the outer skin, unfortunately.
I would disagree.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It seemed kind of dark, lighting-wise, to me.
I would describe it as reasonably well lit, and I think the most sex emporia that I encounter are much more well-lit and clean and respectable than, in my experience, 10 years ago. And this was part of that trend, that I compared it to Fredericks of Hollywood, and Fredericks of Hollywood is respectable enough to be found in malls nationwide, and it wouldn't take a great stretch of imagination to imagine the outer skin being in a mall.
True. Well, there is a culture of pornography distribution, and traditionally it hasn't been too pleasing to the eye. With the introduction of what's the coffee shop dildo supply store that opened in L.A.? Was it the Kustler store?
It's a Larry Flint project, isn't it?
Maybe, I don't know. But it's very upscale, and the stated goal of it was to make a place where people could go and have coffee and, incidentally, purchase dildos. So perhaps we're seeing the upscaling of, you know, in the same way that coffee's been taken out of Dusty Road cafes and put into Starbucks, maybe we'll see the same thing happen to sexual paraphernalia.
Mm-hmm. In some ways it has, like, I've never been to L.A., but I know that Good Vibrations is out there, which advertises San Francisco, thank you, as number one, a woman-friendly, also a very woman-friendly store. It's also advertises as the best clean, well-lit place to buy your sex toys. And that's certainly a trend, for example, that I would welcome.
Mm-hmm. And it's a trend that has been really sparked by women and feminist sex stores. So the Outer Skin in San Francisco, the Pleasure Garden in New York, have really been the leaders of a trend. Mm-hmm. So that the big Emporium on McKnight Road, which we mentioned a few.
Excuse me, did you say Emporium?
I did in fact say Emporium, which we reported on several weeks ago. It was also scrupulously clean and well-lit.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I will say for the Outer Skin is the staff is really friendly. They're very helpful. For quite a while, we were the only two people in the store, and oh boy, were they helpful. About every 5 minutes, they wanted to know if we needed help. Mm-hmm. But which is good and bad.
Was that porn code? I mean, what kind of help were they offering?
Or were they just wondering about shoplifting?
Is there the customer service also have?
Think more than anything else, they were, a little bored, and we were the only two people there, so darn it, they were going to help us.
Did you say this is a chain? Did you say there was an Outer Skin in San Francisco, or did
no.
I misunderstand?
I referred to the Good Vibration store in San Francisco, which has been around for...
I'm going to play the tape back, and you said Outer Skin in San Francisco.
If so, then I misspoke.
All right.
The Good Vibrations has been around for at least 20 years, I believe, though I could easily be wrong. As a woman-operated, worker-owned and operated... store for sex toys, advertising itself as a clean, well-lit place for sexual paraphernalia. And that they also have a museum of antique vibrators and mail order catalogs. And it's really a great place because all the staff is just clearly so enthusiastic about everything they sell.
Mm. You know, when you mentioned antique vibrators, I was actually thinking about just the opposite subject, which is the...
Future technology?
The technology of sex toys, and I'm not sure, it's keeping up with the rate of growth of other technologies.
One word, teledildonics.
Well, right, and in fact, we don't have teledildonics to any reasonable... I mean, I don't think... If there's any reasonable thing you can get that even approaches the promise that teledildonics
provides.
True,
it has promised much and delivered little.
Very true, but the technology is beginning to advance. So, for example, you can now buy remote-controlled vibrators, for example.
I saw one of those on The View, actually. Which is a sure sign that it's bleeding into mainstream society.
What is The View?
Oh, it's a daytime talk show run by Barbara. It's produced by Barbara Walters, and it has a couple of women that sit around.
That's the Mommies, isn't it?
No, the Mommies is gone. The View is, it's a daytime talk show. There's a bunch of women who are picked to maximize diversity. There's a dedicated career reporter, a lawyer, sort of a sassy stand-up comic, and then they had a 22-year-old bimbo on, but they fired her because she was too stupid, honestly, and then they held replacement auditions for the new 20-something bimbo. Saturday Night Live had a lot of fun with it. But it's a very mainstream show, and it's officially sanctioned by Barbara Walters, and they had a piece on sort of a remote control. It wasn't exactly a vibrator, but something that women put in their panties and was controlled from a distance by somebody else.
Well, also in the set technology, I have seen on the web advertisements for the quote-unquote pager panties, which are the panties with a little pocket so that you get a pager, set it to vibrate, put it in the panties, and it can be triggered remotely.
Yeah. What I saw was a device similar to that, but a little more specifically oriented towards its towards its purpose.
Boy, you wonder, the future nightmare scenarios were foreign hackers get onto American, they hack the code for all these vibrating sex toys and incapacitate a whole city full of, executive females.
So,
you did?
Well,
you did.
What?
I've read one porn story that that involved a woman with a remote-controlled dildo walking, a remote-controlled vibrator, walking into Radio Shack and finding out to her the dismay that the controls for the remote-controlled the cars that had triggered the remote-controlled vibrator.
This was a work of fiction, I assume.
This was a work of fiction.
Oh, interesting. I mean, you know, it seems like the sort of the key problem is the device to genital interface, right? I mean, you need to sort of somehow access your pleasure nerves more directly. I mean, that's obviously the next step, right? You know, focusing the microwave beam directly in your brain somehow.
Well, there are these classic psychological studies on rats where they wired up the rats' pleasure centers.
Yes.
Right, so clearly, we have the technology. It's just a question of national will to implement it.
So it's priorities, in other words. So that, you know, the amount of money we would spend in one day bombing Kosovo could indeed...
But unfortunately, Robert Byrd, you know, is just not going to approve that kind of cash, I don't think.
That's really tragic. So I'm actually interested in the location of this outer skin place, because Homestead is not, like, does not strike me as the place where you put a store like that.
We've discussed that,
too. We were talking about that.
So, I wouldn't expect the folks in Homestead to have the money for the sort of upscale places they're trying to be, that, though sadly failing, but trying.
Mm-hmm.
My impression is that that's a more conservative and very much working class part of town.
Oh, it is.
So I have speculated that that area may be economically troubled enough that that having a tenant who pays well outweighs the questions of concern from the neighbors.
And so who
it may also be that the proprietor is wrong.
It may be a matter of time, though, too, because to use the analogy I'm using is similar, but not entirely so. Eye of Horus is a pagan store down on East Carson Street in the south side.
I just want to make you say that again.
Eye of Horus. As an Egyptian, Eye of Horus. It's a New Age / pagan / Wiccan / magic store.
I thought you said something else, but okay.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I happen to know that the neighborhood really rallied against them for a while. I mean, I think there was even a march to get them out. So the outer skin may have similar problems. It's really hard to say.
I'm sorry, I'm not quite clear. I understand the confusion here. Traditionally, sort of the sex industry has located itself in downscale neighborhoods throughout the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is the outer skin a particularly upscale example? Is that what's causing the cognitive dissonance with its location?
It is at least trying to be somewhat upscale. Is not as upscale as other sex stores I've encountered, but the... But it is trying not to be seedy, to be...
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really is.
I guess my cognitive dissonance comes from, you know, all the sex stores I've been to have either been, like, in the sleazy part of downtown, where really people don't really live, kind of, like, behind the mall, like, you know, a little bit beyond the mall, where kind of the sleazy stores are. But Homestead, I just think of as, like, you know, neighborhoods and mostly kind of little small businesses, and it just wouldn't...
Mm-hmm.
In my hometown, some of the sex stores were located at major streets in working-class neighborhoods.
Oh, I see. Wow.
They'd been pushed out of downtown.
So with this, what's this Wiccan store? I'm a horror. What was it called?
Eye of Horus. H-O-R-U-S. It's late. My brain isn't working.
I knew you wouldn't be able to leave that one alone.
Yeah, I was just kind of, I mean, maybe, you know, did the store owners just put a curse on all the protesters, or, you know.
Maybe.
Just silence them? I mean,
I really don't know the owners or anything. I more knew about just the problems they'd had from a friend of mine. And I think that's because Southside also real, well, Southside's a real mix. You've got a lot of young 20-somethings living there that pretty much anything goes. And you've got a lot of folks who have lived in Pittsburgh all their lives, so have their parents, their grandparents, etc. And I think they were the ones that were really wanting it out. But these same residents would probably like it if Southside became much less popular than it currently is.
I'd like to come back to the idea of technology and sex. Not so much the technology itself, but sort of the image or impression of technology. A friend of mine's the dominatrix has told me that a big trend in the dungeons she's seen has been rooms centering either on fake medical procedures or on actual alien abduction and presumably probings.
Every large play space that I've been to has had one medical room where such scenes can be enacted.
So that's been a long-standing tradition in that community, then?
Reasonably, at least 5 or 10 years.
Well, one would imagine that the power dynamics inherent in that situation would lend itself.
Yes, exactly. For many people, a doctor is one of the few people that you're not involved with, romantically with, that you would allow to manipulate your genitals.
Mm-hmm. The same would go for an alien as well.
I don't know if it'll allow this involved there.
At least in theory. Well, in the same way that the S&M community often appropriates Gothic imagery as its own, without necessarily sort of a fundamental reason for it, more because the style fits them than anything else, right?
Yes, I certainly like playing with vampire imagery myself.
I think the potential for sort of a futuristic, almost Barbarella-esque pornography aesthetic is very promising.
And I think, indeed, I think you can branch out from the medical fantasy to all the specialties of medicine, like an orthodontic kind of scene, or ophthalmology, right? Or there's all kinds of specialty. I've mentioned on the show before, my own fantasy is having to dispute a bill from my HMO, right?
This is a sexual fantasy or more of a violent revenge fantasy?
Well, those two are, I think you're just...
Just a heartbeat away from each other.
Just splitting hairs, actually. but right, so, indeed, go to 2 or 3 rounds, get my claim denied, and then maybe it could turn out that they actually are aliens, and then they have to... Well, they probe me and then bill me for it. Maybe that would be so.
Now, are you sure these are fantasies and not repressed memories?
That's a very good point. I mean, there's probably no way that I could actually tell, right? I mean, I may be in denial. Maybe by inserting these electrically charged objects into my rectum, I'm trying to reattach to the mothership's computer input port, from which they downloaded my genetic information in the first place. Maybe I'm finally connecting to that memory in a very very unconscious way.
Our DJ is an alien.
So are you planning to use your computer talents to assume that they run Windows 95 and upload viruses to their computers?
I believe if my memory serves from Independence Day, the aliens use Apple computers and not Windows.
And the reason we know this is the laptop was compatible with their system or something?
Oh, the laptop was a PowerBook, yes.
Oh, okay.
But seriously, DJ Corey, one wonders if your technical expertise has led you to think of any design suggestions or possible improvements to your own devices that you yourself.
Well, I tell you, I do have. This is actually not quite on point with your question, but I do have. I have to tell you, like 10 years ago, I had this idea and it was really hot at the time, and I should have done it. It's a little bit faded now. I really wanted to build an electric vibrating gerbil because gerbiling was really big.
Was gerbiling actually really big?
Well, it was. I mean, it was as an urban legend, it was big. I mean, whether people actually did it, you know, I think they probably didn't. But you know, certainly it was that as a novelty, if nothing else, to sell kind of a vibrating gerbil.
Can I ask a clarification question?
Kind of the way that today you see vibrating cigars in sex stores.
Yes.
Ah, see.
May I ask a clarification? Would you actually build sort of a vibrating robotic gerbil, or would you actually reanimate the corpse of a gerbil using electrical means and have that vibrate?
Well, you know, you're already, I'm impressed by the flexibility of your mind. You're already running with this idea. I had thought of, you know, kind of a latex gerbil with maybe some little rotating interior skeleton that would make the little claws kind of squirm a little bit. But indeed, the more realistic, the better. I mean, what you really want is some robot that gets so frightened that it tries to chew its way out of your intestine.
So you'd actually want the chewing action instead of just the vibrating.
Well, you know, I mean, that would be the deluxe model probably. But, you know, I think it's a missed opportunity. I should have maxed out my credit cards and, like, made, you know, 10,000 of these things and marketed them to local stores. But instead, I'm pursuing it.
Well, perhaps, you know, pop culture will offer it up again.
That's right. You're right. So the gerbil thing is probably a little bit stale, but maybe there's some new animal which will step up you know, Richard Gere's
Dancing Hamsters.
Move on to some other.
I've been surprised a snake has never been involved in that legend. It seems so apropos.
So someone put a snake in their vagina, didn't they?
How did that go?
You looking at me? Wrong.
isn't there some, maybe not, there's some pop culture reference of someone using a snake. I mean,
okay. I've never heard of it, but I'm the wrong one to ask.
I haven't heard of this one.
There are mythological references to snakes being used in that way. I mean, snakes of their own volition being used in that way.
I think there are some. Is it a Hindu legend?
I can't recall a specific example to mind.
Now that you're saying that, I can. Yeah, but I can't remember exactly either.
I mean, snakes probably wouldn't voluntarily go into such an orifice, you would think.
Right? No, but it was a myth.
But it does, you know, there's enough local talent that I think if all the people who are working on making kind of doing all the other interesting things we do with computers, we've got like the world's most talented people and put them in a room and say, okay, you know, design the next generation of computerized sex toy, like, you know, an Actimate type thing that would actually
A Manhattan Project for the new millennium, if you will.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe you couldn't do it in this country. Maybe you'd have to be in, you know, Norway or somewhere where people are a little bit more open-minded. I think.
Well, and I think you also have to be selective about which of the finest minds of computer science you get, because, frankly, many of the people who are the finest minds of computer science are not obviously the sexual geniuses.
Right.
I
doubt if I'll hear a bigger understatement this week.
say, Richard Stallman, would you possibly imagine him being the object of anyone's crush?
Well, but perhaps the sexual alienation that fills so many computer scientists would give them the detachment they'd need to really analyze the problems.
I have to, as usual, be in total opposition to your point, because I think, you know, geeky people are, in fact, far more likely to be sexually open and experimental. I mean, I admit, we all know that, you know, most geeks are powerfully unattractive, but they still.
I disagree.
But let me finish my sentence, and then you may have the floor. My experience with geeks is that, you know, I mean, these all the freaks that go off to these, like, love fests, you know, you know, these kind of the fairy gatherings or whatever they are that people go to in the summertime and, you know, get naked and have sex with each other. Those are all geeks. I mean, so I would just say I think that, you know, the most sexually open-minded and adventurous and, you know, sexually honest, if I may coin a phrase, people are geeks.
I think that you're actually right, right mm-hmm. there. As witness us, for example, I am certainly a geek, but the not all geeks. Lori?
Well, first of all, I was just disagreeing with geeks being unattractive, as I've dated several attractive geeks.
Oh, okay.
Really, really, I have, but I would agree with both of you that really the worst lover I had was the only one who had nothing to do with the computer industry. He was a musician. So, go figure. I would have thought it was the other way around.
Musician, too. That's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, it really was.
He would express his tortured nature through his sexuality somehow.
I would really agree with you, but that's a topic for another night. Yeah, really. What he was like.
So I think the resolution of this issue is that the kind of freak that goes into academia is not really sort of a computer geek. I mean, that's a very special kind of freak, they've obviously traded libido for. I mean, you know, I've said many times, I think God gives us all the same number of neurons, and it's up to us to allocate them appropriately. And, you know, they've clearly spent too much on, you know, whatever it is that academics do. Instead of fully developing their sexual personae.
So, are you saying the entire population of Ween is doomed to lead an unfulfilled
Well, Ween itself would doom any resident to unhappiness.
True.
I mean, that goes being careful, I mean, a lot of people in Ween are going to go off. I mean, they are classic computer geeks, and so, I mean, the ones that are actually going to go into academia are indeed doomed. The ones that are going to be professors, I mean, they're not going to. What professors do is they find some kind of trophy wife to settle down with, and, you know, breed the children, and so they have sex enough times to breed the children or whatever, and then they lead completely separate lives. You know, the professor. I mean, and you know, and the reverse. I don't mean to say one gender role over the other, but the professor, male or female, just devotes his or her life to research, and then the other party just stays home and takes care of the kids. That's the way it always happens. But, you know, there is some hope for those who are going to go off into industry and, you know, do Hotmail or whatever kind of vapid thing that people in Silicon Valley do. And so there's some, you know, those people are more likely to be sexually successful.
So, DJ Corey 2000, what current technologies do you see as having the most promise for sexual development?
Well, I'm gonna take your question and answer it in a different way. I'm practicing this for my thesis defense, by the way. I'm not gonna answer your question directly, but I'm gonna comment on something else. And so I think what you need to do. I can identify the problems that you need to solve. And the number one problem, you know, we already know that males are far more into this than females. I mean, the ratio is probably like 80-20, right? I mean, males consume the most pornography, males buy the most sex toys.
Is that true, that males actually buy the most sex toys?
I am just making that up, of course, but you could.
I believe it to be true, but changing that. The number of sex toys bought by women has been rising and rising much faster than the number bought by men.
Oh, it's just my intuitive guess that sex toys just don't do men as much good as sex toys do women.
Oh.
But again, that's the voice of one man who is now a veteran host of the show.
You may well be right, certainly, but a lot... When I've gone into sex shops, it does seem like they're primarily marketed towards men.
I would agree that...
Though, as I've said, the fraction that's being marketed towards women has been rising.
Yeah, it looked to me... The limited experience I have, most look like they're made for women, but really marketed toward the men still. But so, yeah, like DJ Luke said, that is changing. And there's a definite difference in just even the packaging between something aimed at a man and something aimed at a woman.
The idea is that the man would buy it but bring it home to use on his partner?
I think so.
Interesting. I mean, I can imagine that sort of a dicey scenario. I mean, I can imagine the woman being potentially kind of insulted by that.
Well, it's analogous to the classic case of the man buying racy lingerie for his girlfriend.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the exact, you know, and that's actually a really huge risk for a guy, I think, to go pick something out and know that he's probably got a 50-50 chance of her saying, wow, I love it, or... Help me with the right word.
You
pig!
True, but long-standing couples often accommodate each other. I have friends who have a panty of the month club. They're a couple. And so you can easily imagine something similar being done with more electrified accoutrements.
Wow. So to finish my response, I think the two things that need to be solved, the two kind of grand challenge problems in sex toys are, number one, the male orgasm and its accompanying refractory period. This is just the fact that you can only have sort of, you know,
one orgasm at a time.
Right, and then you know, and more importantly, after you have that orgasm, it's like your whole outlook changes. At least for me, it's like, you know, I've said this many times. Like, you know, what was I doing? Why are these things attached to me? And, you know, this is completely senseless.
You are not alone, DJ.
and so, you know, and what you want is some way to, like, minimize that refractory period so that you get back into that kind of horny, you know, yes, once again, it is a good idea to reattach these electrodes.
That could be a fundamental limitation of human physiology.
You know, what's fundamental today might just be, you know, chemically modifiable tomorrow. I mean, or maybe we should be altering our genetic structure so that our children aren't limited.
But it does seem to be fundamentally a more difficult goal than what I am imagining the second grand challenge will be, which will be to actually develop further the artifacts.
Yes, indeed. Well, I was gonna say improve the interfaces, because, you know, these things that we attach to our genitalia are usually attached in pretty limited ways. I mean, you really want, to develop teledildonics, you really want to create an immersive sexual environment. I want to be there, you know. I don't know. This can go a number of different ways. But, for example, if I wanted to, like, if my fantasy was to have, like, to be some kind of octopus-like ape-penised creature, you know, feeling pleasure on all of my penises simultaneously. I mean, we just did not have that technology today. It's just not exist.
It's a terrible tragedy.
It's not even clear what body part you would attach to in order to make that a reality.
Now, something like that would have to involve a lot more work at the neurological level,
yes.
I imagine.
Yes, exactly. And so, and so... you'd have to alter the kind of orgasm response, too. Like, you know, you need, if penis 3 has an orgasm, you know, you want to be able to, for the rest of them still to be able to fire, right? And so,
you know.
You make it sound like a Gatling gun.
I think it was 21 gun salute.
I'm just thinking of, like, I don't know, a mad bio neurologist scientist somewhere working on this even as we speak.
Well, you know,
I'm sure some of them are all in their labs late at night, very bored, with millions of dollars of government-funded technology just sitting useless.
Well, I guess you'd need to. I mean, the trick is, it probably is hard to attract funding. You'd have to actually kind of give it some kind of defense spin in order to get the government.
Well, if you could market it to the enemy, they'd be too busy.
Just recently, there was some study that declared that it was a national medical problem that people were not getting enough pleasure from sex. Do you remember hearing about this?
No, this is shocking news to me. Was this another Jocelyn Elders comment that she was fired for
making? Unfortunately, I forget all the details.
Wasn't it based on survey results of couples?
Yeah.
Do you both read Salon? What's the information source? I don't have.
I think it may well have been Salon.
All right. By the way, I didn't mention the phone numbers all night. That's probably why we're not getting any calls.
No, actually, the phones aren't working. That's why we're not getting any calls.
Okay. Well.
Well, no, we could be getting calls, but it would be useless.
I just feel compelled to mention our website. You can access this and any show, any sex talk show from the past from our website, which is at sextalk.wrct.com. Where were we?
Sex technology.
And indeed, if I mean, the third sort of axis I'd like to proceed along is kind of the realism axis. I mean, it doesn't seem that hard. I mean, if I had some sort of like living Ralph Macchio doll, that would be incredible. That would be like really realistic, and you could imagine making that, although it probably would be super expensive to kind of get.
Are you familiar with the Real Doll?
Yes, I am.
In fact, a number of roboticists solicited the Real Doll company, offering to pursue research in animating them if they were given one for free.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
It's not clear whether or not the Real Doll company took them up on their offers.
Could you tell us what the Real Doll is?
Oh, it's a.
Please?
How do I describe this?
You send them a photograph of your kid.
No.
It is to the traditional blow-up doll what Hulk Hogan is to a high school wrestler.
Oh.
It's a very lifelike, although immobile sex doll with the appropriate orifices, smooth and deburred, and real hair. They're actually eerily realistic.
So it's www.realdoll.com.
I think so, yeah.
Is this, it's either the internet's most elaborate hoax or it's like a totally legitimate company, and I've never...
I've seen on the Howard Stern show, the one they have on TV, they have a Real Doll.
Oh, fantastic.
That sits on the chair, and they fool people into thinking it's a real person.
Oh, wow.
For brief moments at a time, so. And they claim to have tested it in the bathroom. But, you know, it's hard to know. It's hard to know what to believe in the media.
See, I'm not sure that you really want such realism from your sexual the exploration. For your eight penis experience, do you want realism there?
Well, there's a place for realism and there's a place for the octopoidal eight penis fantasy, right? I mean, there's no reason why they can't coexist happily.
Yes.
And it would certainly, it would certainly be technologically far simpler. I mean, this goes without saying to build the animatronic eight penis Real Doll analog than to have me have eight penises. So I could have sex with an eight penis creature.
That inverts the fantasy, though, and it was a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. Right, and I appreciate that, but at least I mean this is probably just the right time, actually, since the stock market is so crazy right now, and every stupid Hotmail idea is like being sold to Microsoft for $500 million.
As long as you put it on the internet.
Yeah, it has to be on the web, though.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, the thing is to do something really stupid, cash in, and then become an eccentric billionaire and fund project like Paul Allen does. Fund projects like this.
Could you just go to him for the capital? Do you think?
I don't know what he's like. I don't know if he's as much of a visionary as I am.
Well, because we only have a few minutes left, I want to make some strong claims. I want to say that most of the sexual technology that's really shaping people's lives now was originated in around the beginning of this century. So, for example, the vibrators were originally used for the doctors to bring women off. And are now being brought into the homes as sex toys. The violet wand was devised for medical purposes.
Can I ask what the violet wand is? Is it violet or violent?
Violet.
Oh, okay.
It's a static electricity generator. Yeah. So you turn on the wand and can cast sparks to people's skin.
So it's not derived from a cattle prod, then?
Same underlying technology, but the voltages are a little bit different.
Okay. Yes. Sorry. Please continue.
Velcro also. So since we're now learning to capitalize on sexual technology from the beginning of the century, who knows what ideas that are being developed now will affect our lives 50 or 100 years from now?
Well, there is a bottleneck, and I think that DJ2000 correctly identified with it, and that it's the device genital interface, right? We have a nearly incomprehensible amounts of information processing capability, but we can't deliver that with any sort of grace or efficiency to where it counts, right?
You indeed hit the nail on the head. I think we're out of time. Is our producer in the studio? I want to thank you all for listening. It was a very, very enjoyable show. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. I didn't say that right. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. It's about midnight, and I want to thank you all for listening. Please tune in again next week at 11 o'clock. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good
night.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 4th Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.